Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, how's it going today? Back here with another PSO Baseball Podcast. I'm Nick. I got Devin here with me. We've been talking for a long time about doing this, and I need help. I can't do this by myself because I'm so damn monotone. So this will be a nice inclusion because I'll have someone else to bullshit with, essentially. So
yeah, right, talking baseball and things like that. You may know me from a nice little podcast that is not running anymore called Fan Friction, but we had Caleb on a ways back, and he had a great time. We made him cringe with Toy Story, so you can go find that. Fuck, I don't know, I'm not gonna plug that. So.
All right, so just follow us at PSO Sports 1 on Twitter and Instagram, and then Pointless Sports Opinions wherever you want. So, like I said, we're getting started with a baseball podcast. Devin, we'll just kind of jump right into it. Did you know there was a game at like 10 o'clock this morning?
I didn't until I like opened up MLB because I saw that there was a ton of games at like 7, 8, 9. And so then I pulled up the MLB TV app and I was like, what the fuck? There's a game already running this morning? What the hell? It was like Boston and somebody else.
Well, the White Sox. I think it's just because they had to make up some games, and so this was a throw-in. I think it might have been an off day for them today, but they got the game. I didn't watch it, but...
I didn't watch it either.
Red Sox won. 11-4. They have been on fire to start the year.
They really have.
Lost their first series. They got swept by the Orioles, but I think they've won 10 of 13 since then or something like that. So they are number one in the AL East, which this is not something I saw after last year because they were not that good last year and they weren't great in 2019. No. And they traded Betts. They looked like they were going to a full rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
But Betts have come back. Betts have come alive.
Kind of are still going towards like a little bit of a rebuild. Yeah. I think. I don't know. They've got a bunch of real fucking young ass dudes on there, you know. So.
Yeah, but
they
look
good.
They do look good. J.D. Martinez is kind of leading that offense for him. They still got, you know, stalwarts and Xander Bogaerts. Rafael Devers is there. He's been there for a while now. He's still only 24. Yeah. And then Alex Verdugo, the guy they got in the trade for Mookie Betts, he's been playing really well for him.
Has he picked it back up? I haven't paid a lot of attention to the Boston Red Sox, but I know he wasn't, like, doing super great in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I think he's picked it back up. After today, I think he had a nice game today, but before today he was hitting, you know, 263 with... 2 homers and 12 ribbies. So, and
do you think they're legit?
I don't know yet. It's they have a good base because, you know, Nathan Eovaldi has looked good for him. Eduardo Rodriguez looks good for him. They should be getting, I think, Chris Sale back at some point this year.
Yeah,
he's hurt.
Yeah, right.
And then
see if he comes back. Their schedule is looking like super duper light. They've got, like, this little stint with the White Sox, which the White Sox are pretty good. But then they've got Toronto, and Toronto's been kind of like... I think Toronto just got, like, a 3-game sweep against them, right? The Royals swept them.
Yeah, I think something like that. I think the Royals have yet to lose a series.
And then they've got the Mariners, which the Mariners are okay. But then after that, they've got the Mets, who suck. They've got a 4-game stint with the Rangers, who are not so good. They've got a 3-game stint with the Tigers. a four-game stint against Baltimore. And, yeah, and then like, they start to get into some actually decent teams. But
looks
it's like
some easy sailing at the moment.
Yeah. If they can get out of May, the middle to end of May, it starts to get pretty tough because they go up against like the Angels, Oakland, Philly, Atlanta, Miami. So it's like if they can get out of the end of May, I think, with like just hovering around 500, I think that they can actually like have like a pretty decent, I don't know, they can have a pretty decent chance, you know, as long as they're like
11-6 after today's win. And like you said, yeah, if they can kind of get through the tougher part of their schedule and win the games they're supposed to win, I mean, we can see this team be competitive. They've got really good bats. I love JD Martinez because he has hit everywhere he's gone after he got released by the Astros way back when.
Just like but
after
popping that, homers like
yeah,
crazy.
After that, he had a down year last year, but, you know, he was the guy who kind of complimented Mookie Betts, and he was the guy that I guess was David Ortiz's successor, essentially. He's been the guy who's just been a great bet and solid contributor for him. And I'm excited to see what happens with Chris Sale, if and when he comes back. I don't know when he's coming back, but right, he had Tommy John last year, I think, and he missed all last year. So, I mean, he should be coming back at some point.
Hopefully it's a pretty decent reset for him, because before Tommy John, he had come back and he was, like, not pitching like Chris Sale. Right? Like, in the 2019 season, he came back, and he started the 2019 season off, like, bad. So, I don't know. Hopefully, like, having, like, a bunch of that time off and getting Tommy John and being able to rehab and stuff like that, he can kind of get back into Chris Sale form and then can really be, like, that dude, you know, in the pitching rotation form.
I'm going
to
contribute that bats 2019 because of injury. Honestly, I think he was just trying to fight through it.
Right, yeah, sure, yeah.
And then no one wants to be like, yeah, you got to get Tommy John. So.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, Red Sox
Paxton.
Leading that division. Yeah, Paxton. James Paxton for the Mariners going down for Tommy John this year.
So bad.
feel bad for him, man. He can't stay healthy.
It's awful. Feel bad for the Mariners.
Yeah.
Not too bad because they're still leading the West. But
yeah, they're 10-6 right now. They're in first place in the West. That's a nice little surprise for the Mariners. I didn't think they'd be coming out. I mean, 16 games in, 10-6, not bad.
And it's they played like I don't know, they had a couple, like, it's not like a super easy schedule, I don't think, looking at it. I mean, they had the Giants, who I don't think anybody predicted was going to be like crazy, but then they played the White Sox, they played the Twins, they played Houston, so it's like,
those are all
tough
teams.
They had they've got some wins. They had like a one little stint against Baltimore in the middle there, but coming up now they've got they've got a two games against the Dodgers, and then like four games against Boston, four games against Houston. So we'll see how they look, I guess, in about like 2 weeks,
That's going to be tough anytime you go face the Dodgers and the Red Sox back-to-back, because those are two of the best offenses in the league.
Yeah, they're the best teams in the league right now.
The thing about the Mariners is, I mean, Mitch Haniger's their guy there. We all know that. Kyle Seager's there. He's a good veteran player. I don't know if he's in a contract year, but I can definitely see. Yeah, he is in a contract year. That if, you know, I didn't think the Mariners were going to be anything special, and if they continue to play well, they're going to keep him. But if they don't, that's a guy you can definitely see getting traded.
Yeah.
They
got their new guy, Ty France,
yeah,
too,
he's kinda
playing pretty well for him.
Kind of jumping out on the scene for him, hitting 300 with a 400 on base, three homers.
Yeah.
Playing well for
him.
Came
up in 2019.
Yeah, he was a Padre.
What's he looking like here?
I don't even know how he got to the Mariners. I can find out, though, real quick. But he's been solid so far. Seattle got him at the trade deadline last year. He's kind of, I want to say, breaking out for him, but 16 games in, he's doing pretty damn well.
Looking at his last season stats, he had an 836 OPS, and then the season before that, he had a 696 OPS, which is like meh, but 836 is pretty respectable.
Yeah,
I know it was a shortened season, but still played 43 games.
925 right now, and then through 16 games, so it's solid, you know.
Yeah.
Anything above 800 is really good, I think.
I agree.
So,
yeah.
I mean, if you can get any production like that out of a guy that you kind of don't know what he's doing, that's great.
He's still proving himself.
Other than that, they're going to have to rely on some pitching here. Kikuchi, he's been on that team for a couple of years now. He's been nothing impressive out of him since he come over, because I think they got him out of Japan a couple of years ago.
It's
this is his third year in the majors, and he's not done well. And I think he got a nice little contract. Yeah, 3 years, $43 million. So, I mean, struggled. His transition.
None of their pitchers are really impressing me. I don't know.
They got a guy, Chris Flexen, former Mets player.
Yeah, 3.38, which I guess is good.
He was in Korea last year or the year before, and they signed him from Korea.
How was he?
And that might be a really good signing for him because he's probably their best pitcher at the moment. And I think he's a lot of, you see a lot of these dudes go to a, you know, Japan or Korea and kind of figure their stuff out and become, some dudes become studs and never leave, but a lot of guys go there to get better and come back so they can, you know, get another shot at the big leagues. And it's cool to see if Flexen can kind of keep this pace going. He probably won't. I don't think he's going to be anything special, but, you know, as you know, a big Cardinals fan, we saw Miles Michaelis come from Korea, and he's been hurt now, but he had two really good years. So you never know. Yeah. That's something I'm going to definitely keep an eye on. And then you got, I think, the two lefties, Justus Sheffield and Marco Gonzalez. Gonzalez has been their guy for, what now, 4 years, 5 years, and he's been a pretty damn solid pitcher. Sheffield's kind of still on the scene. This is his fourth year in the big leagues. I think he's going to be a good pitcher. He had a good year last year.
Marco's had some pretty tough starts this season, man. Shit. Looking at his stats here, Marco's
14 getting runs lit up. 15 innings, tough.
Shucks. 8.2 ERA. That's a hard one to look at.
That should come down, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, he's only got three games under his belt. So. Like that. Those earned runs are inflated, but
and right now,
sucks.
Yeah, and right now it's like so hard for me to gauge, or anyone to gauge, what a bullpen's like for any team. Because 15 or 20 games. So I don't really know how I'm going to describe a bullpen. I want to kind of get later in the season and see guys get, you know, 20, 30 games under their belt. Because one guy can go on a hot little run and, you know, pitch 10 innings and not have a problem. But, yeah, I like the Seattle Mariners in this division. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. But I kind of – I just don't have the –
They don't have a pitching for it, I don't think. I don't think they have, like, a – they don't have, like, a decent – like, their pitching is okay, but I feel like like, especially, like, we were just looking at the schedule that they're going to go up against. I feel like their pitchers are going to get – like, that's going to be, like, a real testament, like, going up against, like, the Dodgers and Houston back-to-back. Like, when they're going to be going up against Houston whenever Bregman and Altuve and all of them are coming back and stuff like that again, you know? So,
yeah, like, which again, they'll be coming back. We'll see in, like, a week, 2 weeks soon, time. I think, actually. Bregman and everyone's coming back.
I think it's Thursday. Thursday marks the 10-day quarantine, so.
I think they're actually – they might be coming back tonight. Honestly, I think I saw something.
Really?
I think I saw something today saying that they are cleared from COVID because the MLB is doing contact tracing this year. Like, they're making players wear devices on themselves so they can track, they can contact trace. So that's why you see a lot of these guys go out for a couple games and then, you know, three, four, five, six negative tests later, they're back because they didn't have it. But they're just being super careful. But I like what you said about Seattle. They just don't really have the pitching. And I feel like that's the team in general. They don't really just – they don't have it unless, you know, in 2 months we just – you know, Ty France is still breaking out. Kyle Lewis comes back and shows his potential last year as he won the rookie of the year. And, you know, two guys have careers and their pitching kind of gets a foothold and does really well. And that's a really tough division with the Angels, Oakland, and Houston right there. I mean, Texas is going to be the battering ram. I think that they're just going to get beat up on. But even right now, they're 7-9. So,
yeah.
But I like the Angels. I'm just going to kind of sit in this division because it's kind of fascinating. Because Angels are 8-5, Oakland's 9-7, Houston's 7-8. Oakland started off 1-6, and I think they've won like 8 in a row. And I feel like I doubted them a little bit after they started the season really, really bad.
They got whooped up on by, like, the big dogs that were in the, you know, like, the big dogs in their division kind of thing, though. You know, going up against – they went up against Houston, Dodgers, Houston, back like, back-to-back series, you know. So it's like, I don't know. Like, yeah, like, take it with, like, a pinch of salt because it's like, okay, yeah, they're probably, like, obviously going to get, like, just whooped up on by these dudes, I feel like. But then
– it's been a good 8 games. They won 8 in a row. Matt Chapman has been struggling. Elvis Andrus has been struggling. Chapman's one of the guys that they're going to rely on. And they got Elvis Andrus, who's been a great major league player his whole entire career. He is 7 for 55 to start the year. That's It's a tough stretch, but first baseman Matt Olson's been holding the line for him. Jed Lowry, 37-year-old Jed Lowry, finally healthy. He's playing in most of their games, yeah, and doing it, hitting .333 with a .410 on base. And Ramon Laureano has been really good for him, too. And Mark Canha has, too. So they just have these guys that they're able to, I mean, we've all seen Moneyball. It's like they can just find guys who just,
yeah.
I don't know if they groom them, but they get these guys who can play. And I
remember, unlock.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of Ramon Laureano and Mark Canha. I think just, Canha's 32. I don't know if a lot of people know who he is, but he's been in the big leagues for a long time now. And he's just been one of those guys that Oakland has been able to just keep and be a serviceable player. And Laureano, I want to say he has some signs of a superstar, but I just don't think he's going to get there. But he's got a great glove. Yeah. He can steal bags. And I think he's an above-average hitter.
I like Jed's really cool, too. I don't know, just like touching on Jed Lowry, because it's cool because he played for the Mets, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then, like, the Mets were, like, pissed off at him because, like, he didn't, like, produce at all for him or whatever, but he was dealing with something with his knee, and they, like, wouldn't. Like, he was, like, they wouldn't, like, let him get surgery on his knee or whatever because he was having problems with it, I think, right? And so then he came over here to Oakland, and, like, Oakland allowed him to get his fucking knee surgery, and now he's, like, doing it. Like, he's out here fucking hitting like crazy. So
yeah,
it's, like,
this is his third stint with Oakland. He was there in 2013 and 14, went back in 16, 17, 18, and the Mets gave him a nice little contract, and he didn't do a damn thing for the Mets.
Right.
And now he's back with Oakland. I mean, I think that's a place he's comfortable with. So that's kind of cool.
Sure.
Go somewhere that you want to play with. I think it's a nice story so far, definitely, to see Jed Lowry produce. He's 37. It's getting up there in age for a major leaguer, but
yeah,
like you said, he's doing it. And this rotation, we'll see. I really like Jesus Luzardo, Sean Manaea, and Frankie Montes.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Jesus Luzardo, Bassett, Chris Bassett.
Yeah, Bassett and Cole Irvin. I don't really know much about Irvin. It's his third year in the league. And then Bassett's been around for a while as well. So I think that they could have a big three-headed monster with Montes, Luzardo, and Manaea. But we'll see what happens. Like I said, this is going to be a tough division. So we'll kind of wait and see. For sure.
Easy schedule coming up, though. It looks like they got a pretty decent stint against, like, Detroit, Baltimore, like, some easy teams.
Yeah, those are all... that's what, like, when teams see those guys on their schedule, they're going to probably, you know, licking their chops just because...
Ramp it up a little bit, yeah.
Detroit.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa's going to be tough, I think, this year. For sure.
Tampa Bay is, like, I don't... Like, do you... I don't know if they have, like, anybody. Are you excited about anybody pitching-wise on there except for Glasnow? It's like, even Ryan Yarbrough, I know I had talked to you and I was like, you know, he's like a young Kyle Hendricks kind of thing, but it's like, I don't know. That was something I wanted to, like, touch on with you whenever we got into this, is, like, talking about, like, do you think there's a spot in the MLB still for, like, soft-throwing
pitchers? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah?
They just have to learn to spot their pitches and be deceptive and learn how to just mix in their breaking balls really well. Like Kyle Hendricks, he's having a really rough start, but his success has been able to spot a fastball even though he throws at 88, and then, you know, he's got a devastating changeup, and he can just drop that on people. And just, as long as they know what they're doing, like Greg Maddux was a master at it, dude. He threw 90. He could just, you know, paint the black and knew how to just confuse hitters and knew when to throw this pitch to get this guy out. And we watch baseball nowadays, everyone watching it. It's all analytical based, so, like, these guys all know this. Greg Maddux was the analytics before it was even a thing. So I think guys like Yarbrough and Hendricks can succeed, even though we are seeing guys, you know, top out at 99 miles per hour.
That's what I think, because it's like, you know, as a batter, I don't know, it's like... you know, they get so used to, like, trying to, like, spot the rotation or, like, spot movement on, like, a 99-100-mile-per-hour ball, you know, and then it's, like, they get an 88-mile-per-hour ball, and it's, you know, I don't know. I guess to, like, a layman, I guess, you know, you'd be like, oh, the ball's moving slower, so it's easier to hit, but I guess I guess it makes a good point, too, that if the balls are moving so fast now, that a slow-moving ball is almost even more confusing, so...
88 miles per hour is still so fast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I say it's, you know, slow. But,
yeah, to these guys, it's slow.
Sure, right.
To answer your question on who I find interesting, they got Michael Wack in the offseason.
Oh, that's right. I kind of forgot Wack was on that team.
Tampa's really good at finding diamonds in the rough as well because they're a small market team. They don't spend a lot of money. And Waka has shown flashes of brilliance. We've seen it as Cardinals fans.
So I'm a big Waka guy. I like Michael Waka.
Yeah. So I think if they can kind of figure him out and see, you know, if he can stay healthy, because I know he's had shoulder injuries in the past, I think that could be exciting. And then Brent Honeywell Jr., he's 26-year-old. He was like a top prospect a couple of years ago, but he's had like 2 Tommy John surgeries. He's just had a lot of injuries in his career, and he made his debut this year. That's another guy who I could see being really exciting. But I don't. And they had Chris Archer, but he's hurt, and I think Archer might be. I don't want to say washed because he's only 32 and he's only been in the league for like 8-9 years. So like he's still got some juice in his arm, but he's hurt right now. So we'll see what happens there. But the offense needs someone else, one more piece. I think the, Arozarena's good there. Austin Meadows I really like. Brandon Lau probably is just struggling right now. They got a lot of guys struggling, like Austin Meadows, Brett Phillips, Willie Adames, Brandon Lowe, and Mike Zunino. They're all hitting under 200.
Yeah, it's tough, and it's tough for a guy like Randy Arozarena too. Only being, I know he like absolutely popped off, you know, in the postseason or whatever. But it's like tough when, I don't know, as a team, like I feel like it's tough whenever you put like a lot of the pressure on like this brand new guy. You know, he's like only 2 years in the league, kind of thing. It's like he's like your guy right now. Him and like Austin Meadows, or it's like I don't know. I agree with you. I think they need like. They need like a big boy, you know. They need like one of their veteran guys to kind of like start offensively producing, you know. So that way, like the younger guy, like I don't know, the younger guys don't have to be the spearheads.
For sure, you know, maybe we see Kevin Kiermaier.
Yeah.
Kind of pop off. They got Francisco Mejia, the catcher. He's their catcher. He's playing pretty well for me. He's probably their best hitter, hitting .333, and you know, 24 at bats. Him and Mike Zunino are splitting time, but. Yet to be seen. They're 8-8. Their offense has kind of been struggling. I think they're in the bottom third of the league and on offense and in pitch. And their pitching is also probably in the bottom third of the league. But
yeah, if Tyler Glasnow's not on the mound, it's like a toss up.
Yeah, so far. And you know the Rays implement the opener and all kinds of weird stuff. So we're gonna see what they do because that's a tough division too.
They brought Yarbrough in. I think like the second inning or third inning or something like that for the Yankees game that they just played.
But they are 8-8, so I mean they're not behind the 8-ball or anything. But we'll see what happens there. Because you know they were in the World Series last year, and they were the best team in the American League last year. You know, 60 games, but still they were good.
Yeah. Let's see if they can find it again. Tampa Bay's cool.
Baltimore, I don't really know much. They're 7-9. I thought they were going to be probably the worst team in the league again. Cedric Mullins and John Means, those are probably their two best players. Mullins is kind of like a slap hitter. And John Means is cool, man. He's been their best player, and he's been a good player for about 3 years now. He's a lefty. I'm a big fan of him. Owned him in fantasy. That's why I know about him for the most part. That's why I know about a lot of these guys. I know he shut down the Red Sox in the opening series, I'm pretty sure. But in 4 games, he's got... And 4 starts, he's, you know, 23 innings. He's got a 1.52 ERA. That guy, I think he's good. I think that's...
Yeah, I mean, we love that.
I think that's probably going to be their best player all year. But I think they're going to be bad.
Yeah, I think they're going to be bad, too. What the hell happened to freaking Freddy Galvis, dude?
I don't know. What do you mean, what happened?
He was good. He was good, right?
It was okay. He's never been an on-base guy. He's just kind of a average MLB
2019,
hitter.
23 homers. Yeah, he was just okay, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I hit .734 OPS. I don't know. I feel like I just, like, heard about him a lot, and then haven't heard about him since. That's probably because he's not producing like anything. So, I guess that answers my question. Looking at his stats answers my question.
I mean, he's you look at him. He's like, he's not that impressive.
He's been yeah. It's like I hear his name, and then it's like I don't really pay that much attention. But then it's like going back.
Been a big leaguer for a long time, and I think he's like a. He just plays, I think, all the infield spots for the most part. He plays a lot of different positions, or he has in his career. Oh, maybe not. He looks like he's a shortstop and sometimes second baseman. And so, I don't...
That's how much we know about Baltimore.
I know. Trey Mancini's back. He's doing his thing. Not doing well, but...
He's good.
Charlie's boy, Ryan Mountcastle, been a bummer so far. He's hitting 180 in 61 at-bats. Rough go of things.
Oof.
Mullins is probably their best hitter. And then they got Mikel Franco in the offseason right before spring training. He's been okay. That guy's never really found a good hold in the league, man. He came up in with Philly, and he was going to be their next big thing. And he was just nothing there. He just wasn't the highly touted guy that, you know, everyone thought he was. Looking at his
Mikel
team.
Is it Mikel or Michael?
Mikel? Mikel.
Looks like you could pronounce it Michael. Michael Franco. His American name.
You could definitely probably say Michael as well. Yeah, but looking at this team, I'm not that impressed. They have Matt Harvey. He's still in the league.
Nope.
Gotten 3 starts so far, but that's a guy I'm excited about just because he was once so good.
Because he's
now
Matt
he's
Harvey,
just
yeah.
fallen to the fucking dust
now,
and trash
now
in Baltimore. Just talking much trash. Go on to Toronto. I think I'm just going to follow divisions here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
They have one of the best players in baseball. Vlad Guerrero Jr., man. That guy has just... I think he leads the league in WAR at this moment. Maybe not.
He's crazy.
Not the league, but he's got a 1.2 WAR. He just hits the cover off the baseball.
It's crazy.
I think when I think of like the best players in baseball or like the young studs, you know, I think of Soto, Acuña, Tatis... I think we got to throw Guerrero Jr. in here because I don't think he's like...
I think so, too.
I was thinking about this before we started talking. I was like, this is a guy who deserves to be talked about in this crowd, especially with what he's doing now, man. He is knocking the cover off of the ball, hitting 389.
He's got almost a 1.2 OPS.
Yeah, like, it's insane. That is, like, 900's elite for the most part. 950's elite, and he's 150 points, 200 over that, so...
His WRC plus is 232 right now. That's fucking insane. 100 is the league average for anybody that doesn't know. 232. What's his hard hit? 40%. Medium hit? 45%.
Yeah, I think he's just taking that next step. He's not a great first baseman. I'll say that about him. But watch him hit, everyone. Watch this guy swing the bat. He looks like his dad because his dad would just knock the shit out of a baseball. He does the same thing. And it looks like his plate discipline's gotten really a lot better. He's got 11 strikeouts, 11 walks. I mean, that's what I want to see out of my players. Keep the strikeouts to a minimum. He's got 11 RBIs, 4 homers. He is something that is overlooked, but we should keep talking about him because he's going to be awesome. And I'm very excited about the Blue Jays just because
they have all these guys,
you know. Gavin.
They got Ryu.
Yeah. Hinjin Ryu's been really good for him. Steven Matz has been good for him. Robbie Ray's been good
for him. Yeah, what the hell's going on with Steven Matz, dude? Steven Matz is like, I don't know. I don't, like, it's like weird seeing that. Like, seeing him go out and, like, pitch games like that. I don't know. I don't think he keeps it up, but it's cool to watch while it's happening, I think.
Yeah, man, he's been off to a great 3-0 in 3 starts with 18 innings and a 1.47 ERA.
I think on Saturday he was taking a no-hitter into like the 6th inning or something
that. I remember you saying that. He's not letting guys on. I mean,
it's crazy.
6 walks in 18 innings. I'm a big fan. He was part of that big rotation for the Mets when they went to that World Series, I think. It was him, Harvey, Syndergaard, and DeGrom. And they expected big things out of him as well, and he's never really proven anything, but you know, every time someone can always do better when they get a fresh start. So this is a team I'm definitely keep my eye on. They're in a tough division, starting off 7-9. Not a bad start, but I think they could kind of, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it reflects their true power.
I think they could be a force to be reckoned with, but we'll We'll see. Time will only tell. And then the last team in this division that's been the most disappointing team in baseball is the 5-10 Yankees, man.
We love it, honestly. I love it. I love seeing the Yankees suck.
I do too. Fuck the Yankees. But this is not what we expected, dude. Kind of wild. They just aren't hitting.
Not at all.
Judge is hitting 255. Urshela's hitting 250. And then Gary Sanchez is hitting 237. Everyone else is under 200. I mean, just ice cold. Those are their starters. But, you know, LeMahieu's there. LeMahieu plays everywhere. He's hitting 286. I forgot about him. He was a big offseason signing. But he's only got one homer and five RBIs. But he was supposed to, he signed a big contract, and he's supposed to be a force. He hasn't been. I mean, it's just everyone's struggling. I'm kind of – if I'm a Yankees fan, I'm worried.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, holy shit. Like, because they're losing games against teams that they should definitely not be losing games against.
And they – I mean, they have –
like, they should be crushing. I don't know.
They should. And they have a good bullpen, but their starters have been roughed up too, man. Talion's not been good. Kluber's been bad.
Bad. So bad.
Corey Kluber, I thought he was washed after last year when he went to the Rangers.
Yep.
But we'll see. I liked him, but I don't think he's a shadow of himself for sure.
Do you know what the contract they signed with him for the Yankees was?
It was like one year, 11 mil. So I guess it's not terrible. But, you know, Garrett Cole's doing his thing.
11 mil's worth, though. Yeah,
that's,
he is.
That's essentially it.
Yeah.
For their starting staff. And then Jordan Montgomery's kind of slid in and been okay, but... I'm on edge if I'm a Yankees fan, just because that's not a good start, and especially after you see the Red Sox playing really well and being the best offense in baseball.
Yeah. So, what the hell, dude? I don't know. That's just crazy. You see that batting lineup and you're like, oh shit, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo, DJ.
Yeah, Glaber, like, Gio Urshela has been good for him in the past.
Yeah,
just like,
Gio. Yeah.
Gary Sanchez he had two home runs in one game, I think, and he hasn't done anything else. He's got two homers all the season, so.
Which was awesome because, like, Yankees fans were like, fuck yeah, dude, Gary's back. And then it's like, no, he just did that. I don't know if he's back yet, you know, he just did that thing and then that's it.
And Jay Bruce has been playing first for him. Dude retired. Middle two.
Dude, he's like, I don't even want to be part of this
anymore.
He's like,
I suck this much, man. You guys, you're going to release me. I'm just going to retire, actually. I did this. This is on me, actually.
So funny, dude.
And Brett Gardner's still there. He's still doing his thing. He's hitting 240 with a 367 on base. He's a good fourth outfielder. I love Brett Gardner, honestly.
Do you?
I don't know why, but he's just... He's like the holdover from the Jeter days, essentially. It's just like my longing, because I love...
Yeah, I don't know.
I love Jeter, honestly.
The only thing about Brett Gardner that I know is like... I think it was like last season or the season prior, he like charged the mound against Joe Kelly. They got into a fight. That was like when the whole Joe Kelly Fight Club thing started, I think. Or it was like part of that.
So, yeah. Yankees fans, I don't feel sorry for you, but...
Nope.
I would be worried.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going back to the West. What do you think about the Angels? How do you feel about them?
I love them. I think they're doing exactly... I think what the Angels needed, right, because they have Trout on there, and so the Angels are like, we have the best guy, but, like, we're not doing well enough to, like, really utilize him or whatever, you know, and so everybody, I think like, you know, the vibes around a team can pretty drastically affect, like, how the team plays, and I think now that they got, like, Shohei's back, Shohei's pitching, Shohei's batting, you know, they got some big dudes on there, they're all out there having fun, they're freaking cracking balls, they're winning big games, you know, I think just having that vibe of like, you know, like, holy shit, we're winning.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
We're good. We're having a great time doing it. I think I like it. I think it's going to take them. I think they're going to go farther this season than they have before. That's what I think. I think they'll get the playoffs.
I hope they make the playoffs. Yeah, well, you said Shohei is on fire, man. Four yeah. homers. He's hitting .333 with a .370 on base. Like, he's it's tough there because
he's crazy.
They have Pujols on that last year of that monster contract, and he's Albert Pujols, so you want to play him, but, like, that dude right. needs to be benched because they have another first baseman, Jared Walsh, who's also slugging it. He's hitting .341
yeah.
with a .426 on
you
base.
You got to put him out there.
Albert Pujols, it's a sit. Like, I mean, and it's not even like
– Is he?
I mean, it just – He's not good anymore. He's a good pinch hitter. That's what you can have him for. Yeah. We'll see what Pablo's doing in Atlanta, man. That's what Pujols can do.
Yeah, is Rendon still injured?
Yeah, he's still injured, and he was off to a nice little start. He was hitting .290. Once they get him back in the lineup, man, that'll be really nice for him. I mean, you got Trout, Shohei, and
Rendon. You got David Fletcher in there, who's like an on-base percentage master.
Yeah,
that dude is
you got Fletcher
great
in there,
at getting on base.
Having a struggle to start the season off, but, you know, 15 games in, 15, not even, because they had their series delayed, I'm pretty sure, against the Twins here this past weekend.
Dude, Mike Trout's stat line is just, like, the stupidest thing.
Guys,
anytime I pull up baseball reference.
If you know, you know. Like, Mike Trout's just going to do his thing.
That's my...
He's inhuman, is what I can...
That was my child's first piece of baseball gear. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, but my childs were big Cardinals fans. You know, obviously, we live in St. Louis, whatever, but I refused to... Because I know at my wife's baby shower that she's just going to get showered with Cardinals shit, you know? And it's like, I refuse for my child's first thing. In the era of Mike Trout, I refuse for their first piece of gear to be... not Mike Trout. So I beat the baby shower to the punch.
That's good looking out. Good looking out, Dad.
Mike Trout jersey. That's right, man. We respect the man. We respect him.
Yeah.
And actually, I had a question. Since we're talking about Mike Trout, I know this is like, I'm sure like on every single sports podcast ever, Mike Trout is like the most beaten dead horse ever. But okay, so I have two questions for you, and then how you answer the first question will dictate the second question, okay? So would you say that Mike Trout is the Michael Jordan of baseball?
No.
You would not say he's
there have been better baseball. Players. I mean...
Better players?
There have been better players in baseball history that have also won championships.
Better players than Mike Trout, though. Like, they've won championships, and they have that over him, but they themselves were better players than he was?
Yeah, I mean, Mickey Mantle is one I can say. Well, I mean, just... Mickey Mantle played 18 years in the big leagues. He was hurt his final couple. But, like, if you look him up, him and Mike Trout, like, are... When Mike Trout was in, like, year three, dude, he was... I mean, I thought Mickey Mantle. Just because you can go look at Mickey's numbers. Mickey was better. Sorry. I know you like Trout. And how many World Series did Mickey Mantle win?
Yeah, that's fair. That's like the one. That's like the fucking thing. That's like the LeBron and Jordan argument type thing.
Seven.
It's like, yeah, LeBron's really good.
Seven rings for Mickey Mantle. Trout
has
made
a lot of
one playoff, and they got swept in three games. So,
yeah.
And it's hard to also say, like, are you the Michael Jordan? Because it's baseball. It's not five players on a court. It's... nine dudes on a field, and then there's another six guys, eight guys that pitch and come off the bench. It's like, it's such a different sport than basketball.
That's fair. There's like half the game that Mike Trout doesn't even really like fully participate in, kind of thing.
But
I get what you're saying. But.
Mike Trout is going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time. He is a top three player at this moment in time. I'll definitely give you that.
Yeah.
Probably number one still, honestly. He's probably the best player in baseball, in my opinion. And I don't know.
In the league right now?
Yeah, in the league right now. I mean...
Yeah, it's like either him or Acuna, right?
Yeah. Acuna's probably right behind him. But, like, Trout has the pedigree of...
Yeah. Yeah, he's been doing it for, like, longer.
10-plus years.
It's just fucking insane.
Being so insane, nice. Yeah.
Having an above 9 OPS for... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons above 9? Yeah, it's just insane.
And it was rookie year, who was 19 and he got a cup of coffee, played 40 games. Like, that's
it's freaking insane. Okay, but anyway, so
yeah, I love it.
So second question. What do you think it takes for people to start, like, I don't know. I feel like Mike Trout is, like, not recognized. Do you think people are just bored?
I think.
Yeah, you think people are just bored with the fact that he's good all the time?
I think they have a hard time promoting their players to the world in general. I mean,
yeah.
Baseball, obviously, we all know this. It's not, I mean, football is more popular, basketball is more popular, and I'd say hockey might even be more just
sure.
exciting than baseball.
Yeah, you got fights and upper 90, you know, half-court shots and stuff. Yeah.
Baseball's kind of got a niche fan base, but I don't think he's... like I said, if you know, you know, because it's Mike Trout, but yeah. The MLB has a hard time just showing their players off to the world. Recently, they've been doing a lot better. And Mike Trout's... It's no knock on him. He's just not the personality. He just wants to...
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
He wants to do his thing. He wants to play. He wants to go out and be great. And, you know, off the field, he's also a good guy. But he's not one for the limelight. And also...
Yeah, he's not like the big personality.
He, like I said, has never really been on the national stage. I mean, all-star games. But you can't really expect everyone to know who he is because he's not playing in the World Series every October. Or, I mean, he's not even getting deep in the playoffs in October. He has been at home, sitting there and waiting.
watching. Yeah. So you think a deep playoffs run this season maybe, like, wakes some people up and they're like, okay, shit?
Yeah, I definitely think it shines more of a light on Trout. And hopefully Ohtani, too, if they can do it. But baseball does a bad job of promoting their players. Like I said, it's gotten more... Yeah. Apparent that they've tried more, like seeing guys like Acuna and Tatis.
They're kind all about the young guys now.
And, I mean, Mike Trout's only 29. He's still a younger guy, but yeah. But those guys have, like I said again, no offense, Trout, better personalities or at least bigger personalities, and they like that. They like that, man. They want that, and it's cool. I'd like to see the energy that those gentlemen bring to the field, and, like, I love seeing them pimp home runs. I love seeing pitchers.
Soto shuffle.
Yeah, Soto shuffle. I mean, Lindor's big old smile. And, you know, you love to see that personality in these guys because, you know, they are human and people can relate and that's cool. And you just love to see that fire. Mike Trout plays with it, but it's inside him. He doesn't really express it that much, but
yeah,
I love that expression for sure of seeing guys pump their fists after they get a big strikeout and stuff like that. I think Trout has been groomed by Pujols, honestly. This is my personal opinion.
I can see that. That's a good point. And yeah, Pujols, that's a good point. Having that stoic, like, let your stats speak for themselves.
Yeah, let your game show what the type of player you are, and, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's actually why Trout's such a great player. He was just, that wisdom he was granted from Albert Pujols and guys that he had to play with. But back to the Angels in general. I think they're going to be fun.
Yeah.
8-5. Tough division. I think they could be a wild card team. I'd like to see them win the division. It's pretty wide open.
Yeah.
And they have pitching.
I think they go deep.
Honestly. They haven't really had...
Dylan Bundy.
Bundy, Heaney, and Keening. Those are three guys that, you know, I think could do well for them. They have Alex Cobb. And then, you know, Shohei's there when he has only pitched one start. I think he's had some blister problems. But if Shohei pitches, you know, 15 games, man, that's 15 quality games that you can get out of this guy. So
yeah, it's a fun team. I'm happy for the Angels. Team. I like the Dylan Bundy acquisition. I like the Anthony Rendon acquisition. I think it all looks good. I think they got it.
I think they put some pieces around Trout to put themselves up for success.
I mean, you have to, you know, because it's like a Jacob DeGrom situation where it's like you're squandering, like, you know, one of the best players of all time. Like, you gotta, like, use him, dude. Spend the extra money. You'll make it back if you can go deep, you know, and give this man some freaking time to shine.
That is
it sucks,
true,
too, because, like you said, he's not a big personality where it's like he's not gonna be, like, demanding to be traded because they're not winning or things like that. You know, he's like, I think he's publicly said, he's like, when people ask him about the fact that they're not doing well, he's like, you know, the Angels gave me a shot, I'm going to stick it out with them kind of thing. You know, like, he's like really like honorable and loyal that way, but it like sucks because it's like, dude, like, you know, you want to see like a Mookie Betts situation where, you know, it's like he goes over to the Dodgers and they win the World Series and you get to see Mookie like pimp the shit out of, you know, where he's like stealing home base and hitting home runs. It's like, yeah, you know, you want Trout to get that shit too because like Trout's the man.
He is one of the best players in baseball. Yeah, for sure. So we'll move on to the Astros if you're ready for that.
Yeah, I am. Got some points about the Astros to talk about for sure.
They're 7-8 on this young season. They've been definitely hampered so far. What, Altuve, Bregman, and Alvarez have both, they've all missed 5, 6, 7, 8 games because of COVID protocols. Yeah. So they haven't really had their full team together. Kyle Tucker, who was supposed to be the next big thing for them, not playing particularly well, hitting 193. And then, I mean, Yuli Gurriel has been really good. Michael Brantley's been solid. Correa's been okay. It came out in the offseason that Correa declined a, what, 5-year, $100 million deal?
Yeah.
Because he's like, I want to get paid what Lindor's getting paid.
Big boy. Yeah. Right, exactly. Which, so, I don't know. Do you think Correa is on the same level as Lindor?
Nah, he's good.
Nope.
But he'll also be 27 going into free agency. So, I mean, you can give that guy an 8-year contract, 10-year contract.
Yeah, I think he'll get more money for sure in free agency, but I don't know.
But
If I'm a GM, I don't want him because of his reputation. If I'm being honest,
I think that's going to hurt him. Honestly,
skills, but
I think a lot of these guys coming from the Astros that have been part of this scandal. I just don't know how many people are going to view him.
Unless, because if this guy comes to my team, I'm like, you motherfuckers are responsible for my buddy who's a pitcher who came out 2 starts against you guys, got lit up for like 7 runs, and then got sent back down to AAA, and he hasn't come back up since. You know, it's like, you motherfuckers got my friends, you know, kicked out. So it's like, yep. There's like all teams across the league that have bad blood with like all of the guys on this Astros team.
And they were such a fun team before that scandal. And now,
they were.
Now
they
we're all
like
fuck
awesome
them
to root for. Yeah.
But
they really screwed themselves.
Their offense looks like it's going to be good. I mean, Gurriel is hitting 358. I mean, Altuve looks like he's having a nice little bounce back. Correa doesn't even have to be the second, third, fourth best player. It looks like it's going to be Altuve, Gurriel, Brantley, and Bregman, and then, you know, Correa coming up fifth. And then Kyle Tucker shouldn't have to worry either, and Yordan Alvarez is still there too. It's like, wow, what a plethora of good hitters on this team.
Yeah,
most of them are young, honestly, besides Gurriel and Brantley. But it looks like they're going to be – I think they'll be just fine. I think, in my personal opinion, they might be the team to beat here. Especially –
I would maybe agree with that.
I don't think Verlander's coming back this year from Tommy John.
No.
I don't think so.
If he does, I don't think they're going to get quality out of him. I don't think they're going to get enough quality that will matter in the long run.
I think they'll be too
short a stint.
They won't put him out there just because they don't want to risk anything.
Right, exactly.
But they're led by Greinke, who, you know, still doing his thing, 37 years old, being a weirdo he is.
He's awesome.
4 starts.
I've got a nice little stat here for you.
Yeah,
okay,
let's hear
it. a little bit of trivia, all right? So, you know, Zach Greinke, he's, like, notorious for throwing, like, obscenely slow pitches, right?
Yep.
He has 34 pitches that he's pitched under 65 miles per hour. I want you to tell me how many of those pitches were hits. Like, in the technical sense, they counted as hits.
I was going to say, like, 4.
0.
0.
He has thrown 34 pitches under 65 miles per hour, and none of them are hits.
No one expects it.
Isn't that fucking nuts? What the hell?
It's like we were saying earlier, man. Throwing slow is, I mean, as long as you're deceptive about it, people are going to be like, oh shit, where did this come from?
So, well, I think too, if you get a batter that's not like, you know, like you don't get like a big poppy, you know, big panda, like you get like a smaller batter. It's like, if they don't have the velocity of like a 99 mile per hour fastball, like connecting with like the barrel of their bat, you know, it's like they can only hit it so hard. If they don't have the raw strength to just pump that ball, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be like a slow ground out or a nice like little pop fly or something. You know, it's like they just don't physically have the power to like put it where it, you know, somewhere to do damage.
Target in the seats for sure. They can, like,
yeah,
they're going to slap it for a single maybe. So it's not going to be
right.
the end-all, be-all. And a lot of these dudes, they see that and their eyes get so wide and they just get ready to just crush it. And they swing right through it. Or yeah, they just freeze because right. they're like, whoa, what the hell did I just
what
see?
What the hell is this? Yeah. Is he intentionally walking me? You know, yeah.
So, but Greinke's leading the rotation. McCullers Jr., only gotten two starts, three starts. He's been roughed up a couple times. Jose Urquidy.
The one they said he was sick.
Urquidy, I think that's how we say it. I bet big on him this year. I got him in both fantasy leagues. I think he's going to be okay. I think. But he's still at 26. He's not been in the league that long. Odorizzi,
yep.
late start to his spring training, so he's getting roughed up as well. Nine earned runs in 7 2/3 innings. But, ugh. Yeah, that's gross. You're right. But, like we said, he had a slow start to his spring, so we'll see what happens yeah. there. But in my opinion, I think that's the team to beat here.
I think so, too.
So, and then last but not least, we got the Rangers, which nothing...
Texas Rangers, baby.
One thing I like about them, Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo. Love him. You know what really sucks about that team, though, okay? So I picked up Joey Gallo in fantasy, right? Because, like, you know, the boy in 2019 was, like, home run derby. Like, he was just fucking cranking home runs like it was nobody's business. And so, like, I picked him up because I had, like, done some, like, you know, looking into it. It's, you know, he hits the ball to the right field wall because he's a left-handed batter and he pulls it, like, almost 50% of the time, okay?
Yeah.
And so he pulls it to that left or that right field wall. And so, like I think it was like July last season or something like that. They finally moved into the new stadium, but the season was shortened and whatever. So this season, I'm looking at it, you know, and it's like Joey Gallo's hard hit rate is like 45%. He's like 50% pull to that right wall. The new stadium, I was like looking into like, you know, the new walls in the new stadium, and that right field wall had come in almost 10 feet. So I'm like, I'm like licking my chops. I'm like licking my chops. Joey Gallo already hitting 40 homers in the old stadium, and now the wall is now 10 feet shorter for him. Like he's gonna be going ape shit.
Yeah, hopefully.
And then come into the season, he's done like the responsible baseball thing and has realized his role on the Texas Rangers and like changed his plate discipline so that he's not swinging for the fences, and now he's like working on on-base percentage. And
yeah,
I'm like, you motherfucker, dude.
I saw
yeah, that. He's leading the league in walks, but it's like, dude, you're at a park now where you can like go ham. Fuck, dude. I was so frustrated whenever I heard that. Because like I specifically picked you up so that you would hit tons of home runs for me, and now you're not going to do that, which is like good for your team, but like bad for fantasy, because I want you to just crank fat homers.
Keep
over
hitting
that
dingers. Yeah, he's only got one on the year so far, but...
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, he leads the league in walks, and his on base is like what 450.
Yeah, it's wild. It's really good. So it's like good for you, but like fuck, man, I want you to hit homers.
Yeah, I'm not too excited about this team. There's nothing really there.
Me neither.
Kyle Gibson's been good. I think that's a guy they could trade. I think a lot of guys on this team you're looking at and like, well, they picked him up, and he might be able to be traded. So Kyle Gibson. They have Mike Fultonevich, former Brave.
Getting absolutely destroyed this season.
Great.
Not good.
I think a kid named Dane Dunning looks like he's been doing really well. Three starts, no earned runs. Is that what I'm seeing? Or no, one earned run and three starts. That's pretty solid.
Nick Solak.
Solak. I mean, but there's nothing really shows me.
There's
anything.
Nobody here.
Yeah, Brock Holt's on that team still. I think that's just going to be a bottom barrel team that we're going to see get just lit the hell up. Which.
Yeah.
Rangers fans, remember fondly on 2010 and 2011, and then other than that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's not even something you can look back fondly on.
Not in 2011, you don't even really want to remember that well either, right?
You just want to forget about it, honestly.
Yeah, the only thing, it's like saying that makes me even more sad, because it's like, Joey, dude, if you're out there for some reason and you listen to this shit, just fuck the plate discipline, dude. Like, the people around you... Like, it's good for you. Like, that's what you... Like, that's probably what you should do, but the people around you are not gonna... It's not gonna pay that off. Just fucking swing for the homers and try and set some records, dude. Get people stirring about you so that maybe the Rangers will, like, sell you off or you'll get bought out by some big fat contract as you just crank, like, you know...
I think...
One, because I want to see it, but two, because, like, fuck, man, my fantasy team needs you.
I think he's gonna get a nice little contract. He's got one more. He's got this year and next year with the Rangers, and then he's gonna be able to walk. And if they're not playing well, I think the guy can get a good contract on a team that wants him. A winning team.
Imagine like Joey Gallo going to like the Angels too or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Sick. That's just like he's a compliment piece that a lot of teams would want.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I thought he was a free agent after this season, but he's got one more year on the book, so I don't know if they trade him at the trade deadline. But he could be someone we're talking about getting traded later on, so
hopefully.
Okay. And last but not least, we're gonna go to the AL Central, this division. I'll just go from the bottom. Detroit, you're 6-10. You had a cool opening day game that you guys won in snow, but other than that, what's the like? I mean, I think Miguel Cabrera's on the DL, and he wasn't even playing well before he got hurt. Akil Badu, I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah,
he's been
like
cool.
That.
He's been fun to watch.
Yeah, Badu's been cool. It's like the only thing cool on that team.
Four homers, 11 RBIs. He's been playing really well for him. But I don't really know anything else about this lineup, man.
I don't either. I just don't care that much.
Yeah, sorry, Detroit. And then Matthew Boyd, that's a guy. And Casey Mize. Those are their two good pitchers. But other than that, like, we don't... I like Casey Mize. He was a number one pick a couple years ago. And Matthew Boyd had a really good 19. I think 20 was kind of tough for him. Not a really good 19, but he was a solid player. I think that's a guy you'll see on the trade block at some point this season.
Yeah.
And then next, Minnesota. Minnesota's been plagued by COVID, so they've only played 14 games. But they do have this guy named Byron Buxton, who's just finally going off.
Setting the league on fire, dude.
Finally going
setting
off. We've
on
been
fire.
We all. This was like one of those guys we've been waiting to pop off, and he's finally doing it. He's still only 27, so he's still pretty young. But, start the season, he was just, he's hitting .469 with a .528 on base. Only played nine games, but, very exciting.
He's got a 1.1 slugging and a 1.6 OPS.
Wow.
He's got a .362 OPS plus.
All he does is hit
fucking
for power.
Wild. That is fucking wild.
And they still got Nelly Cruz on this team. That guy just never, ever stops hitting. He's going to be 50 years old and still hitting in the league. He's hitting .390 with a 1.157 OPS. Like, what? I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to stop. I really don't.
I don't either. It's crazy. He's just like, I don't know. He's just got that swing, I guess. You know, it's like.
He does. He has a nice swing.
That nice, easy swing. He's getting old. Like, he's getting older, but he's still got the power and he can still just pop it, you know?
But I think this team's going to come alive here shortly. Like we said, we only played 14 games. They have a really solid offense. Simmons is out. Anderson Simmons, but he'll be back shortly. I don't think they're going to be able to... You're not going to be able to stop him. You're not going to be able to hold him down for much longer. And their pitching staff is solid. Michael Pineda, Jose Berrios, and Kenta Maeda leading the charge.
Love all of them.
That's pretty solid. They got J.A. Happ and Matt Shoemaker. They're 4 and 5 guys. Solid. Good. Bullpen looks like it's been struggling a bit, but early on, that'll all even out for the most part. I think they'll definitely be one of the contenders in the division. Next team is the White Sox. They just lost today, so I believe they're 8-9.
Yeah, 8-8. Oh, 8-9. Okay, yeah.
The big story for them has been they lost Eloy Jimenez to start the season.
Yep.
Tough. But they got this guy named Yermin Mercedes who is just absolutely tearing the cover off the ball.
What the fuck?
It's like, crazy. Yeah, it is. He's been really good for him. He pitched this afternoon, whatever, because they were down so much. Threw an 87-mile-per-hour fastball. It was pretty cool. But, you know, they just need guys' bats to, you know, wake up. Grindahl and Abreu, Moncada. I mean, Luis Robert, whatever his name is. He's been their best player, it looks like, offensively for the most part, besides Mercedes. They have Adam Eaton, too, who's been doing his thing. And then Tim Anderson is just coming back from that hamstring injury. So, they're solid. And then the big thing with the White Sox, the big story here recently, Carlos Rodon threw that beautiful no-hitter.
It was awesome.
Dude had a perfect game with one out in the ninth. He had the slider working, and that slider slid a little too much and hit someone on the top of the foot. So he lost his no-hitter, or his perfect game, but he was able to complete the no-hitter, and it was awesome.
They interviewed the guy that got hit on the foot after the game, and he was like, no. He's like, I wasn't trying to do anything. He was like, it just, like, the ball came in, and He was like, it's cold out there. I don't want to get hit. It just happened to get me like right on the toe, you know, whatever. And then they interviewed Carlos Rodon, and he was like, if I'm him, I'm not moving. Yeah, yeah. He probably took it, or like, you know, whatever. He's like, I'm not gonna let this guy get this easy. You know, I'm gonna let that thing hit me. Yeah, so I thought that was funny. Where the one guy was like, no, I didn't let it hit me. And then Carlos Rodon is like, he probably let it hit him.
Respect, dude. It's all about that.
Yeah.
But they have a really good rotation as well. You know, if Rodon can be really good, they got Giolito, who did get roughed up today, but that guy's, you know, Cy Young contender. And then Lance Lynn, he had 3 starts. He had a complete game shutout in one of them, but he's got, in 19 innings, he's got a 0.92 ERA. That dude just gets better. He's like fine wine or cheese, dude. Better with age.
So, yeah, it's so weird. It's awesome seeing him go out there. We were talking about that the other day, but he's got this, like, big gut. And, like, he just doesn't look, I don't know, he just looks crazy, but he just throws absolute fire. And it's wild to see, man.
He is not what you'd think a professional athlete would look like, but
no.
Like I was saying, you have to be in such good shape to throw a ball 100 times really fast.
For sure, 100%.
But so he is in good shape, we're sure of it. Lance Lynn, let us know. We do love you.
Yeah, we love you. St. Louis boy.
And then Dylan Cease and Dallas Keuchel are probably the 3, 4, or 4, 5 guys. Dallas Keuchel's big fan of him. And then I think Dylan Cease had a really good start last night, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to see the White Sox, I think, probably take the division, in my personal opinion. I don't know.
I think so, too.
Next one, we got Cleveland. They're 6-7. Or, no, I'm sorry. 8-7.
8-7. Yeah.
Led by the best pitcher in baseball, Shane Bieber. He is awesome. Okay, I don't know if it's him or DeGrom are the best pitchers. Bieber, in 4 starts, he's got 48 strikeouts. Like, that's 12 a game, Devin. 12
crazy,
a game average, dude.
That's insane. I got to look up his baseball savant real quick.
Yeah. Tristan McKenzie, Logan Allen, Zach Plesac, and Aaron Civale round out their rotation. It looks like Shane Bieber's, he's 26. He's the oldest guy along with Civale and Plesac in that rotation. He is the elder statesman, and it's insane that he is. And he's doing his thing at such a young age, but he's so damn good. So, very exciting.
God damn, dude. His pitch is... The heat map on his 4-seam fastball is like... That dude just plays with the freaking shadow zone right on the edge of the strike zone box right there. But it's like, oh my God, it's like perfectly painted right around the box.
Yeah, that's why he's so elite, man. He can just spot it, and he knows his bread and butter. He knows when to throw this pitch this way. He just knows how to manipulate a batter, and that's why we're seeing him win a Cy Young last year and be DeGrom-esque this year. So it's going to be exciting to watch him. If they can get a good bullpen down, which looks like they have, Emmanuel Clase. He's a fireballer. Kid's talented. He's gonna be exciting to watch alongside James Karinchak. The offense is what I'd be worried about if I'm a Indians fan.
Yeah.
You don't have Lindor. I think the guys you got back weren't that good as well.
Jose Ramirez, so they're kind of
Jose Ramirez is the guy in that lineup. They got Eddie Rosario from as a free agent. But they just don't really have anyone that excites me other than Ramirez and, I guess, Rosario. They let Tyler Naquin walk last year, or got rid of him, and he's lighting the world on fire over there in Cincy.
Going crazy.
So
just hit a home run yesterday, I think.
They need their offense to keep them afloat or at least be better. So,
yep.
We'll see what happens there. I'm a big fan of Cleveland. I love Terry Francona, and their pitching staff's going to kind of be one of the best in the league. So,
And then we're
going to go on to the Kansas City Royals leading the division. They're 9-5 with big old dummy Mike Matheny at the helm as the manager. I'm not a Mike Matheny fan. Not a big fan of him at all.
Big dummy.
But they're a fun team, honestly. I love Salvador Perez. He's one of my favorite players in baseball.
Yeah, he's great.
He had an insane year last year in the shortened season. He was hurt in 2019, but he's back. They paid him, and he's doing his thing. He had a walk-off homer the other day, and the dude just... him and Yadi are the two best players in my mind over the past, what, 5-6 years to be a catcher. He is up there, man. The reason they were in the World Series is they had this guy behind the fucking wheel, dude, doing his thing. They got Whit Merrifield. I know you're a big Whit Merrifield fan, I believe.
Yeah, I think he's underrated, honestly. I don't think he gets talked about enough. And, I mean, I'm sure he gets talked about a decent amount, but I still don't think he gets talked about enough. He's got great stats.
Hey, dude, he's just a...
His on-base percentage is, like, fantastic.
And, yeah, he can just hit. He hits for power. He steals bags. He plays... I know for a while he was playing, like, second base and the outfield, center field, honestly, for him. Yeah. So he was just doing it for him.
All-around player.
They got Benintendi in the offseason. He's struggling. Carlos Santana, they got in the offseason, struggling. Jorge Soler, the guy who's in that lineup to hit home runs, has one, and he's hitting 167, also struggling.
Ouch.
But I think this team's talented. I like Michael Taylor. He's probably been their best player so far. I like their offense. I think they're going to be dynamic and exciting. I'm kind of excited to just see what happens with them this season. I think they can definitely get in people's way when it comes to trying to win that division. I think they're going to do a good job at least putting a wrench in things. And I think they could fight till the very end for a playoff spot. But
I think so, too.
This is 2 weeks in, so maybe I'm being a little overzealous about the Royals.
They've got good offense, though. I don't think you would be alone in believing in this team. Like, their offense looks really good.
They have an okay pitching staff. Mike Minor, it's struggling a little bit. But Brady Singer, 24-year-old, doing really well. Danny Duffy, in two starts, he's got a .75 ERA in 12 innings.
Solid.
Brett Keller, I thought he was going to do well this year. He's been poo-poo. 11 earned runs in 19 innings. But they have a solid bullpen as well. We'll just see how Matheny manipulates it or confuses it himself.
For real. So. Yeah, pulls guys when they don't need to be pulled.
He did that. Jacob Junis was throwing a no-hitter through like 5 innings, and he pulled him. This is like 2 weeks ago. And they lost the game.
Suck to see.
So thanks a lot, Matheny. That wraps up the American League.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.